Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Thursday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 verses 19 and 20. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who instituted his holy supper for us, dear fellow redeemed, what was Holy Week like for Jesus? Well, after the Palm Sunday events, he went back to Bethany and spent Sunday night there, possibly with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Then on Monday and Tuesday, he went into Jerusalem both those days and spent entire both days in the temple teaching the people. Wednesday was a quiet day, no public gatherings. And then Thursday, he sent Peter and John into Jerusalem and told them to go and prepare a room for them to celebrate the Passover. Sometime that afternoon or early evening, he quietly re-entered into Jerusalem with his disciples, and they celebrated the Passover in the upper room. After celebrating, they then walked together as disciple and Savior to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where everything that he had foretold his disciples would take place began to occur. He was arrested, carried away, put on trial. Those events all ended, of course, with his crucifixion on Good Friday. But before they left that upper room, after they'd finished the Passover, Jesus did something different, something new. He instituted a whole new meal. After the feast, which is Passover, which is the centerpiece of the Old Covenant, Jesus instituted a new covenant. Jesus did this so simply that one wonders if the disciples at that moment understood the significance of that meal. Probably not. You probably remember that before they ate the Passover, the disciples were arguing among themselves as to who was the most important among them in God's kingdom. And then at the meal, Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." Then he spent the rest of that evening, after the meal, wondering, doubting, and concerned about who it is he talked about and what he meant by all those words. This institution of this new meal was so simple, it's a wonder that they wouldn't even forgotten all about it. It didn't come with any fanfare. There's no strobes of light, no puffs of smoke. Jesus simply just reached out for the unleavened bread and the wine, and he began a new meal. As we heard this evening from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that new meal, which we call the Lord's Supper, is tied to Jesus' cross. We read again Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we are to see the cross of Jesus every time we gather together to partake of and to receive the Lord's Supper. And so our theme once again this evening is "See His Cross." The blessings of the cross we are to receive. Our first point is Jesus tied his blessings the sacrament of the altar. The Passover meal was a very important meal for every devout Jew of the Old Testament, even in Jesus' time. God had commanded his Israelites to celebrate that Passover meal every year to remind them of that miraculous deliverance they received from the slavery in Egypt. And all the ingredients of that meal, which were a reminder also of the events that took place. They were to have unleavened bread. They were to cleanse their house from any yeast, get rid of all the yeast in their home, and have unleavened bread. Reminder that the Jewish people had to leave in a hurry and didn't have time for their bread to even raise. They were to eat bitter herbs and spices like horseradish to show them and remind them of the bitterness of the slavery that they had for hundreds and hundreds of years. They were to sacrifice a lamb. Reminder of the lamb that was sacrificed, the many thousands of lambs that were sacrificed that night, whose blood was then sprinkled on the doorposts. And they were drinking wine, a sign of joy and happiness. So unleavened bread and wine were some very important ingredients in that Passover meal that Jesus and his disciples took part in. The Passover meal begins with a blessing and the drinking of a cup of wine. It ends with a blessing and the drinking of another cup of wine. Jesus finished that Passover, and then he simply took some of the unleavened bread, broke it in pieces, handed it to his disciples, took the wine that was there, handed that to his disciples as well. These two actions were different. It's not part of the Passover meal. And disciples no doubt realized that this was different. And of course the words Jesus said made this meal entirely different. From that moment, these Jewish believers would never again eat the Passover in the same way. Well, they probably continued to eat the Passover for some time, but it always would have a new meaning, a new dimension, a new reference to Jesus as the Messiah. And after Pentecost, we're told the disciples consistently ate of what we call the Lord's Supper in their worship services. We read in Acts chapter 1, the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, reference to the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. The Apostle Paul, as we read earlier, gave individual instructions to the Christians in Corinth as to how to prepare for this special meal. And since that time, it has been celebrated throughout Christianity in worship services and privately, and will continue until the end of time. Jesus made something new on that Maundy Thursday when he tied the unleavened bread and the wine to his cross. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." The disciples had been accustomed to seeing Jesus. He had a body just like they had. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was human in every way. That body would be given for them. Jesus knew what he meant, but the disciples didn't understand it at that moment, but soon they would. For that very body, in a few short hours, would be bound, and then whipped, and then beaten, and then whipped again, and beaten again, and then finally crucified on the cross. Jesus gave his body into death. He endured all these things because of our sins, because of what we deserved to endure. He had no sin, but he assumed our sins for us and the sins of the whole world. Scripture tells us that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It's amazing. Prophet Isaiah saw this take place 700 years before it even happened in prophecy, when he wrote down, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Yes, Jesus' body was given for you. Given into suffering, given into sacrifice, given into death for you and for me, for every single person in this world. The second part of this sacrament meal also involved the wine. And so Jesus tied the wine also into the cross. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." In the events of that evening the next day, they would see how that happened too. Early the next morning, he was whipped. He was flogged before Pontius Pilate, possibly, as Romans do, 39 times, 40 lashes minus one. So his back was bloodied and dripping with blood. The soldiers, to abuse him, took a thorn and made it into a crown and crushed it into his head. So his head was bleeding as well. Then he was nailed to the cross with his hands and his feet. And then when he died, a soldier came and jabbed a spear into his side, and blood and water came gushing out. Jesus was dead. Jesus' blood was shed for us. These words of Jesus tied this part of the sacrament, as well as the body given for us, part of the sacrament, to his suffering and to his cross. He would bleed for these disciples, for you and for me, and for all people. The bread, the unleavened bread, and the wine that Jesus took from the Passover meal were now filled with a whole new meaning, with a whole new significance. They all pointed to the cross. Make no mistake about it. Jesus also indicated for us that this one-time symbol act and this one-time action was not to be just done once. He said, "Do this, not just tonight with me, do this regularly." He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we still do. We remember his body and his blood as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We come to the Lord's Supper, we think of that Good Friday when Jesus went to the cross. We think of his body being given to us, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, crucified. We think of his blood being shed for us, poured out. We think of his sacrifice. His body given for us, so we're forgiven. His blood poured out for us, so we are washed clean. "Come," Jesus says. "Come. Do this. Eat of this bread. Drink of this wine in remembrance of me." This sacrament is indeed tied to his cross. But there's a second point to our lesson this evening, and that is, Jesus gives us the blessings of his cross in this sacrament. We're to do this not only to remember Jesus and have a memorial meal and think about his death and remind us what Jesus had to do in order to die for us, but the essential feature of the sacrament is that it is his body and blood in with and under this bread and this wine. Jesus said, "This is my body," as he broke off the pieces of unleavened bread and handed it to the disciples. Those words are clear. So he tied the unleavened bread now to his body. He said, "It is his body which is given for you." And so when we come to the Lord's Supper, we receive in a supernatural way the very body that Jesus had that was beaten and bloodied and put on the cross to die for us. And we receive that, we're also receiving the very blessings that Jesus earned for us by his death upon the cross. When we come to drink of the wine, we receive the very blood in which Jesus shed and poured out for us on the cross. And by receiving that, we too receive the very blessings that Jesus earned for us. It's not a representation, it's not a symbol. It is the very body and the very blood of Jesus in a supernatural, remarkable way. As Jesus said, and we have no right to change his words. Even though we can't comprehend this, no matter how many times we say it or teach it, we need to believe what Jesus tells us. Think what's happening here. This is the last night of Jesus' life before he dies on the cross. The last time he'd be with all of his disciples before his death upon the cross. Jesus now is instituting something brand new, something very special for his disciples to do from that time on until he comes again in eternity. It's his last will and testament. And just as we don't change anyone's last will and testament, even if we don't understand it, so we should not change Jesus' will, last will and testament, even though we may not be able to comprehend what he told us. Jesus knew what he was saying. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. His words are clear. This is my body. This is my blood. His words are clear about his suffering, his giving his body, and his shedding of his blood. Why would you ever want to change the meaning to his words? Remember Jesus' words also, healed the sick. They gave sight to the blind. They stilled the storm. They raised the dead. The disciples couldn't understand that either. And yet they saw it as a miracle. Well, that's what this is. It's a repeated miracle over and over and over again. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, doing this in remembrance of our Lord. Our human minds are just too small to be able to understand and comprehend how that can happen. But it doesn't depend upon our understanding fully. It depends on Jesus' words and the power of his words in our heart. For us, this special sacrament is the assurance of our forgiveness of sins. Jesus was thinking of you and me on that Maundy Thursday evening as he was handing out those pieces of unleavened bread and passing that cup around to the disciples. He knew that we need the assurance of forgiveness and salvation and everlasting life every day of our lives as we journey through this life. How often don't we face troubles and trials, and we wonder, and we doubt, and we complain, and we worry? We may have challenges right now. Pain. Maybe heartache. Worry. Anxiety. Fear of the future. Maybe guilt is nagging at our heart. Maybe also anguish over past events. Relationships. Maybe worry about the future and economy. Jesus understood all of our challenges, all of our worries, and he says to us, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you individually and personally. He knows that in times of doubt and fear and worry, we need to hear his words over and over and over again. And sometimes we need even more than words. We need to be shown it, and Jesus gives us the ability to see in the way of bread and the wine, his very actions of what he did for us on the cross, to see it, to touch it, to receive it in a human way, yet beyond our understanding. It's his words. He says this every time we take it, given and shed for you, personally, individually, for you, for the remission, forgiveness of all your sins. But it's also his true body and blood, in with and under that bread and wine, for us to receive and to partake of, being assured of that forgiveness and salvation and everlasting life. Jesus loves us sinners so very, very much. This sacrament then takes us back. Every time we partake of it, takes us back to Good Friday. Takes us back to the cross. We receive his body and blood for the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins, the strengthening of our faith. This sacrament calls us back to his cross, and it draws us together as like-minded Christians to see in this chaotic life that we live in, what's the most important thing in your life? Jesus suffered and died for me. I am forgiven. What blessings Jesus gives to us from his cross as we journey through each of our lives. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.